Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Smiling.
Smile when we start a show.
Smiling.
Not over there. If I smile too much, it's a bad thing. Utah, here we are.
Logan, Utah fans, welcome to another episode of the Utah Football Fans Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We have a lot of storylines that came out of Saturday's game against ANSU. We will get there, but first of all, we want to
trademark.
Trademark.
I need a shirt.
No.
Yes. I don't know if you should sport that shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? If you're a designer, send us a couple of logos for ANSU.
But before we get into all of those storylines, we want to thank our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. Please look him up at thomasortho.com. He's down there in Utah County. He
Brave
will
soul.
Help you out if you need anything done. So look him up, thomasortho.com.
And no, he's not related to Tavion Thomas.
I know, someone
we did
asked
have a comment.
That.
I don't know if that was serious or not. But
you've
no.
ever seen
so
Thomas
no, he is not.
Orthodontics and Tavion Thomas, you would know very quickly.
They do not look anything alike.
They're very different.
We did also...
Easy way to remember it, though.
Yeah, exactly. We wanted to acknowledge today, we are recording this Monday night, and it is the one-year anniversary of Aaron Lowe's passing.
That's wild.
It's so crazy to think that it's been 1 year. But, you know, we need to acknowledge that. And sad, sad day a year ago that we were all experiencing. It sucks. Sucks. A year later. But
still remembering Aaron and Ty.
After the Washington State game. And hard to believe that that much time has passed. But
I think Whittingham, though, he talked about it today in his press conference a little bit. And just... how much their influence still is on the program, you know? I mean, so much of what they do with the program is still based around, you know, Aaron and Ty. And I think that's really cool. I really hope that that continues. It's hard once, you know, these players that kind of went through it have left the program, right? It'll change, obviously. So much of what they do with the program is based around those two guys who had such an impact. So
I think it'll stay. I feel like that mentality of live for Aaron, live for Ty, like
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Live life like you know, yeah. I think that'll stay.
I mean, they retired the number, obviously, mm-hmm. and they do the moment of loudness. But it's different when they weren't your teammates, per se.
Right.
You know, but yeah, I saw that on social media today, and I can't believe it had already been a year. It's yeah. wild.
So we're thinking about their families. Because I know, you know, with Ty, it was months earlier, but those two were so close. So I'm sure today is a hard day for Ty's family as well as Aaron's family. So we're definitely thinking about it.
Pretty cool, though, that Jaquindon was such good friends with Aaron and Ty. He actually talked about it today. You know, I mean, he came to Utah because of those two dudes. And so the fact that he was able to play, we'll get into it, you know, score a touchdown, play, you know, Ty's position. It's
that's cool. It's I hadn't crazy. Thought about that yeah. part of it. That's
yeah,
true.
He got in, played Ty's position, scored. So,
well, I mean, like we said, I feel like there were a lot of storylines that came out of Saturday. Unfortunately, the worst one is that we have lost Brant Keithy for the season.
Not good.
Oh, that just...
Not good.
It's one of those that sucks. The second you saw it, you went, uh-oh.
You could tell he was in a lot of pain.
You wished and hoped and prayed that it was anything else, but you knew.
Just...
What do you say? Yeah. So, okay, I'll ask this question. I've heard it all day. You know, there's the cliches. Of course, it's the next man up, of course. Someone just, you know, have to step up and fill his shoes and all that kind of stuff. What do you make of that kind of stuff, particularly with Keithy?
I mean, it's the right thing to say. What else are you going to say, right? Next man up. And, yeah, we've got some guys behind him. But in my opinion, Keithy was the best tight end we've ever had at Utah. I mean, I think... And he was so dynamic. He changed the game. He changed the game plan. Now we still have Kincaid. There's other guys that I think are going to step up. But you, even if they're very good, to go from an A-plus top NFL tight end to a very good player, there's going to be a drop-off. But you have to say it. It just sucks.
I get when you say it. I think it definitely hits differently when it's a marquee guy like Keithy. I mean, let's be honest, our offense, Cam, Keithy, like, he was the guy.
Yep.
And so, next man up is Yasmin. Yasmin?
I think, yeah.
It is.
Am Yasmin. I saying that right?
If not.
I want to make sure, because I will get called out on it.
The comment section will let us know.
Which, they're idiots. You know, he had an amazing reception in the game, but... The experience isn't going to be the same. So, yes, next man up, and I hope that Yasmin steps into it and steps up to the task, but there's going to be a noticeable drop-off. There just will be.
Well, yeah, okay. I agree with all of that, particularly if you look at it as just a position. So next man up, is the gap going to be filled by some guy filling in his position? That's not going to happen. Because you're right. Beyond Cam, he is the player of the team. He's the biggest. He was the biggest threat, the biggest contributor. I mean, key plays, all that stuff. He was the guy. And when you lose the guy,
he was the guy.
Okay. When you lose that guy, you're not going to have someone just fill into his spot and just move on happily ever after. So for me, it's not only players. It's coaching now. How's Ludwig going to adapt to not having this threat, this guy you could basically throw the ball to in most situations? He'll come down with it, and just that kind of thing. So now how you distribute so we don't lose the production somehow. That's the risk. That's number one, not to say this. I mean, I guess we're going to see how we adapt to that. But that's a hit on our, don't you think it's a hit on our chances?
Oh, big time.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we want to be honest about it.
Yeah, yep. 100%. I mean, absolutely. We talked, and we'll get into it. We did some polls earlier this week about where you think Utah would land and how many wins and all that sort of stuff. And I kind of, you know, I got to reconsider because he is that dynamic. He was the guy that in third and two, that's right where Cam's going to look because it was his safety blanket. If a play broke down, that was the guy he was going to look to. Now, I will say this, the benefit, bad word, but it like last year we lost Covey and Lloyd, and I felt like we felt that because they went to the NFL. Their presence wasn't there anymore. Keithy's still around. He's still going to be in the meetings. He can help some of these young guys. Hopefully that can be beneficial, but yeah, it sucks. I want to read, Cole Bagley actually just tweeted this. This is a quote by Yasmin. He said, "It's unfortunate that it came about this way, but I've sort of been hanging for this. I've sort of been hanging for the opportunity here and there, just doing what I can. At the end of the day, I'm going to make the most of what I have right now and take it on 100%. So, I mean, he's been in the program. He has seen the field a little bit here and there. You're right.
He's a big dude.
Big dude. Great play.
He's from Australia.
He threw a couple dudes off of him.
He's an Aussie. Yeah, he hasn't played a lot of football.
No, he hasn't. And so I think that we'll see. It's whatever. Nice that we have Dalton Kincaid still there because he's still an A-level tight end, but it changes everything.
Right.
That's what it is.
Yeah, because that was our offense. It changes everything now. How can we adapt? And I don't know. I guess we'll see.
We're going to find out. Hope we can. We have a lot of talent, but that's where we're at. So
Cam's got to adjust too.
Yeah.
And just for Keithy.
For the guy.
You know, I hope his football career is not over. Obviously, this throws a huge wrench into it, but thoughts to him too, because he's, I'm sure.
What sucks is
going through a lot of grief right now because of
all
this.
He could have gone to the NFL.
Yeah, he came back.
Very easy. He came back to finish what he started, that, you know, that whole thing. So he could have gone. Now, the ACL injuries that he's experienced, it's not like it was 10 years ago. Oftentimes, people can recover from these and come back. It just sucks that this is how it ended for him. He could technically medical redshirt and come back next year, but I would be shocked if that's what he does. I think if I was advising him, I'd say go to the NFL, get paid, go do your thing.
Yeah.
All right, Tavion Thomas. Before we talk the ANSU game, and our let's just get this out of the way because Tavion didn't play the whole first half.
He didn't,
and we all know it. We watched the game, and we're all wondering. And you could see him standing there, and even we knew that it had to be some sort of disciplinary thing.
Yeah,
it was obvious, and that's what it turned out to be. And of course, Witt's not going to say
what it is exactly.
The specifics of it, but there was some sort of attitude expressed like on and off the field. I mean, he made a reference to that at his press conference.
In his cryptic way that he does.
So here's what I'll say. Okay, with Tavion, he's great. He's a key. He is one of the keys to our success. There's no question about it.
100%.
I would just say, man, you've got such a future ahead of you. No. You have a potential to go make some money in the NFL. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Just take advantage of it. Don't do stupid stuff that eliminates that opportunity because he will have an opportunity.
He'll have a shot.
So anyway, that was the reason.
Whether he gets drafted or not, he'll be on a roster and have the opportunity because he's a big, strong, physical runner.
Get it together.
But yeah, we actually talked about this at the game. It's like, you got a shot here, man.
God, don't waste
Don't blow it. But I will say one thing, though. Credit to Coach Whittingham. He is willing to, he'll punish a player. He's not going to put you on the field if you don't deserve to be on the field. You know, the detriment to the team, fortunately, I mean, it was ASU, right? So the running backs played really well without him. But man, if that's this week against the Beavs or USC.
Any team. I mean, let's be honest. Any team.
But Whittingham would do the same thing.
I know he would. And so I respect that. Get it together, Tavion, please.
With love.
God.
With love.
With love. Okay.
Exactly.
It is with love. Okay, let me ask you this.
Does ASU
We got
suck?
The stats. Of course, we slaughtered ANSU 34-13. Let me ask you this. I mean, watching the game, it was never in jeopardy. We all know it. But were you satisfied when this thing was over? Did you feel satisfied, euphoric? We just kicked the crap out of it. I mean, did you feel good about it or not? Even with the way, look at the stats and stuff. I mean, how did you feel when it was over?
For me, no. And I think the biggest thing was the Keithy injury. I knew what was to come.
Okay. I'm talking about the other stuff.
No, that it can't just be the other stuff. It all encompasses.
No, I will say no. I didn't feel satisfied because of our offensive production.
The red zone specifically.
We should have been 50 points. And so watching that, it's so frustrating. And that's been an issue for us this year. And
it hasn't, though.
It was in Florida.
The statistic, yeah, that throw, but typically, he alluded to it that statistically we're have been pretty good.
Okay, well, maybe I'm just the Florida game is.
But that one, yeah, that
is
rings,
what sticks out to me. So
that cost but you us. Take Florida and Arizona State, the two best teams we've played, and the red zone has not been good. And then
I don't know if Arizona State. Anyway,
okay, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm with you. The red zone has become an issue.
Well, it has. That is
very concerning going forward.
What is it about, why are we not kicking field goals? I mean, I don't like three. I don't like getting down to the 10-yard line and then only taking three. But why are we not? I mean, we went for it, was it twice or three times that we went for it on fourth down in the red zone?
In this game specifically, I actually didn't mind it. I like the live practice, the live drills of, hey, it's fourth and goal. Because we were so much better than them, we were going to win anyway. So
you think that's why?
But here's the thing. You say the fourth down. We were 3-for-4 on fourth down in that game.
What was our red zone production in this game?
We were 3-for-4 on fourth down. And here's the bad part, though. We were 5-for-15 on third down.
That's not.
See, you can't enough. Have that.
33% against ANSU? Not
so,
good enough.
I'm with you, Brent. I mean, we killed them. Never in jeopardy. You look at the stats, and we just dominated. Yes, 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 yes. But at the end, there were times we just didn't finish. I'm with you. We should have been in the 40s at least.
Yeah.
We did stuff. We didn't finish stuff. Here's I guess, my analysis of it. We didn't finish stuff that I feel like we will need to finish against good teams.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or they're going to take advantage of us. We're not going to win. That's what worries me. Yes. Oh, and then the kickoffs. I know Witt talked about
That's very concerning.
You know, a 40-yard two times, that's where they got their points, I believe, or off those things.
Well, six of their two field goals came off of
those
kickoffs, and they got them back out at the 40-yard line.
Right. Move it a little bit.
Uh-huh. Kick a field goal.
And kick a field goal. So we can't have that. I'm just saying, I felt like there were things. Yeah, ANSU, no threat. We dominated. We could not play good at times, and we're going to kill them like we did. But I just know that the gauntlet that's upcoming, which is October.
Right.
Some of those things, we can't be 5-for-15 on third down and red zone issues. We're going to need to have that if we're going to beat the teams that we're going to be playing.
I think that's one of the reasons I didn't feel satisfied because, like you said, the game was never in jeopardy. I was never worried that they were going to come back and beat us or something, but it's like, if we keep playing like this, we are going to get slaughtered.
Okay, but I'll say this.
No.
No.
Say it. Come on. No. Bring us
because okay, the perspective is this. Okay? Yes. There are moments that have been disappointing and you're kind of sitting there like, what's going on and you're frustrated. But the reality is the last 3 games, we've blown the teams out so bad that our backup quarterback is in by the start of the fourth quarter.
But I'm not talking about those one of the things that's in my mind is our receivers had a horrible game.
Okay. Yeah, our receivers dropped balls. That was really frustrating.
So that's one of those things where
that's
I'm thinking about like...
Right, you got to clean some stuff up.
When we're playing freaking USC, you got to catch the dang ball.
Agreed. I totally agree. They dropped balls. Red zone production, not great.
And kickoffs.
Kickoffs. Like, there are definitely things to clean up. We are far from perfect. We are worse now than I think we were when we played in the Rose Bowl, obviously. However, we're extremely spoiled as Utah fans right now when people are bitching and moaning and complaining, but we've, in 3 straight games, we've given up, what, 2 touchdowns? 3 touchdowns in 3 games, 2 of which were on the other team's final drive against our second string. Our backup quarterback is in by the fourth quarter. Like, We're killing people. Yeah, I would have loved to put up 55 on Arizona State. Do I think we could have done it? Yeah, I think we could have. But there's things we got to work on. Now is when it really gets going, though. I mean,
well, that's the thing is I agree with you. I'm not, yeah. I'm just saying, though, Dixon goes through his hands and it's picked off.
Enos.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Enos.
He had a couple drops.
He did, okay.
Bailey had a couple drops.
Went through his hands, picked off. That can't happen.
No, this week it can't happen.
Typically he's.
Yeah, it was.
Now, I know there were some tough catches coming his way, but it hit his hands. And I'm hoping he catches those things.
Agreed.
That's what I'm saying is, yeah, am I nitpicking? Yeah. But I think when the margin of error is going to be big against real good teams, I'm just looking ahead. I guess that's what I'm saying. Well, that's why I wasn't like satisfied or felt.
Yeah. But let's talk about the positive defense.
Oh my!
Let's talk about the positive of the
rushing
game.
Yards.
We held them
six rushing yards. Think about it.
They had negative.
A guy could fall forward for 6 yards on the first play of the game.
Well, they had negative rushing yards for the whole first half.
Yeah, they had negative rushing yards, and they're so
six.
When you look
yards.
At the stats, their quarterback ended with 261 yards. It's not bad. They all came late. Their QBR, and we've talked about QBR in the past. QBR is a compilation of rushing and passing and sacks and interceptions.
His effect on the total.
His effect
thing.
On the game. His rating was an 8.5. Now, to put that in
perspective. I don't think I've ever seen that low.
Cam Risings was a 95.4. So,
oh my
holy
gosh.
Cow. You're right.
It might as well be zero.
The defense is coming into their own, and it is looking great. The corners are looking good. The D-line. Diabate did not play.
He'll be back,
He'll
too.
He'll be back.
I wonder how that's going to look because the linebackers are starting to play good. So to rotate him back in, what that will look like. But, yeah, the defense.
The defense looked amazing. And
holy cow.
Cole Bishop, hello. My gosh.
Hello.
Cole. All right.
Anything else?
No.
We have to talk about Cole Bishop. We have to.
About what?
Did the quarterback
die?
Freeze? Like, did he see Cole coming and he just like couldn't move? Like, what was it?
He was blinded by his beautiful eyes.
No, I'm serious, Gary. He didn't even attempt to get out of the way.
Have you seen that picture of the tackle that Cole Bishop made?
It was so. He didn't move. It was like, I feel like he just like froze.
Okay,
like, he
the
didn't
guy's
know what
running.
To do.
I think he's going to throw the ball. It just happened so fast.
You see that picture?
No, his eyes.
That's the hit. And the guy just got leveled. And then, of course, Pac-12 refs throw a targeting flag that.
Hey, but you know what? Give them credit that they didn't actually fulfill that call.
And the announcers are going, "Oh, that's as targeting as it gets." No, what do you want him to do?
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't think it was, but it was the Pac-12.
I thought he'd be gone.
It was the Pac-12 refs. I thought he's gone for sure.
That's exactly how I felt. I thought he'd be gone for that half, and then the first half this week.
I can't believe that he did.
So we got to give him credit that they actually did something good.
That was unusual.
It was unusual. I know. Cole Bishop had an amazing game.
Yeah, a game.
What are you supposed to do with your head when you make a tackle?
I've never played collegiate
Move
football.
It to the side.
That's going to shock some people. But if I'm running full speed at you and you don't, like you said, he didn't move. So Cole just.
I know his head is right here.
His head's right there.
And they're now taught, do not put your head down.
Yeah, he didn't go like this.
So he kept his head completely level, which meant that their helmets hit because they're the same height. I don't know what you're supposed to do. Cole. Any of you who play football, I guess, tell us. But Cole Bishop.
Coach, what do you think? Coach?
Clark, was it? Clark Phillips had the interception.
Yeah, Cavs Clark.
I like that.
Coined.
See, we need
Cavs Clark.
We need a shirt.
Cavs Clark. Someone make us a shirt.
We got a lot of shirts coming
Anus
to us.
Anus U something.
Cavs Clark.
Anus U. Just
Anus U something. Or Anus U. You know where we're coming from.
if you've listened to this program long enough, you know what
and
we're
then
going
Cavs,
for. Cavs Clark.
Clark.
I like that.
Thank you. I'm really good at this stuff.
All right.
Guys.
We can move on to all Oregon State.
Oregon State. Okay. Here now it all begins.
We said that last week, but yes.
No. We not like this.
Not like this.
This the
I mean,
Pac-12
yes.
Pac-12 begins, but we all knew, but not now. Oregon State is a good football team, and honestly, well, here's where I'm coming from. They play like us. They're us. They sort of mirror how we play. Balanced. It's not the spread stuff. It's not all the motion stuff. It's not Washington State stuff.
No, no, no. They run the ball well.
They're a balanced attack if you look at their stats.
Defense.
And they're a physical team. And last year, we lost. In other words, we got out Utah'd. I remember in our podcast last year, that was exactly what it was. Oregon State out Utah'd Utah.
Yeah, they did.
They did our game better than we do our game.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to be on Saturday, is who's going to be more physical and imposing. We're going to have to be tight to win, I think. We watched a lot of the SC Oregon State game. Come on, Oregon State. How did you blow that? But it comes down to really this. Is SC had four picks, man.
Yeah.
The guy threw four interceptions, and SC had no turnovers. That's the difference.
Barely won.
That was the game.
Uh-huh. Which means that Oregon State's defense is legit.
They're legit.
They held physical, USC to
strong
nothing.
Corners. They play very disciplined. I heard Yogi Roth talking about this, and he was saying,
really?
Yeah, he was saying the thing about Oregon State is they don't have a first-round draft pick on that entire team. Like, they don't have a superstar, but they just play disciplined, solid, hard-nosed football, very much so like Utah. Like, I mean, that's how they play. I just looked. The line shocked me.
Yeah, me too. I saw that.
10.5.
I heard 11
for
and a
Utah.
Half.
I just barely, Utah favored by, I just looked at ESPN.
That's shocking.
10.5. And their little predictor thing that we talk about has us at like an 83%. That shocks me.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, that's at home. It's at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's just.
Only because I respect Oregon State.
I respect them. That's exactly it. Yeah.
Honestly, I respect them. I watched them play SC, and SC. They should have beat him. You just can't make mistakes. I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But the fact that they held the most high-powered offense in the country to 17 points. I mean, they...
Total yards was 320 for... No. Back up, Gary. 357 total yards for SC, 320 for Oregon State. Here's the thing, though. Total passing, 180 yards. They held
USC to 180 yards passing. That's scary.
That's pretty scary. They played well.
Well, and in all reality, they had the ball with a minute 20 left.
Just couldn't do anything.
And he threw a pick, didn't he? I can't remember.
I can't remember at that point.
I thought that he threw a pick, and then the game ended, you know.
I think that's right. But, So they're a good team. I mean, I looked at, you know, for instance, Caleb Williams, 180 yards, one TD, 16 for 36. Now, Nolan, who's their QB, Oregon State's QB,
he
only had 167 yards, four picks.
Four picks, dude.
That was the backbreaker. Four picks. That is the USC team right now, by the way.
Their defense isn't that good, other than they're getting turnovers.
Their defense isn't that good.
They have 14 turnovers caused this year. It's by far the most in all of college football. No one else has even double digits yet. That's not true. It's the turnover margin. Excuse me.
It's the turnover margin.
It's the turnover margin. So they're in double digits positive. No one else is in double digits. But I will give credit. Joel Klatt was talking about USC before the Oregon State game. He's not buying the hype. Joel Klatt.
Thank you.
And I respect the crap really? Out of him. Yes. So...
What about Cowherd? Is he still thrilled?
His tweet today.
Of course.
Gobble, gobble. He's just.
Loving it. He's just loving it.
But Joel Klatt has it Utah, USC, Washington, Oregon. But he even said.
Really?
Yeah, that's his order. He goes, it's very interchangeable. It's not wide margin.
No.
And on any given day, anybody could beat anybody. But that's his pecking order.
Well, it's like we've said. We want to see USC be tested. They were tested on Saturday.
I wasn't impressed.
They pulled it out. They found a way to win, and good teams find a way to win.
Freaking gave myself a paper cut.
Yeah. But they were vulnerable. and they showed their vulnerability. And like I've been saying, I think they're so freaking overrated.
Okay.
But they did win.
Let's give them props as much as I don't want to.
On the road, they won.
I'm bruised. Why am I bruised? Do you know when you find those bruises just randomly? No. How did I get bruised?
Doesn't happen to me.
Sorry.
You went like this. Oh, and I'm bruised.
You got tenderness. Marks over there.
Little tender
don't
arm.
Don't say that. People are going to think you're serious.
You're so
serious. I do bruise very easily. What the freak is that? Anyways, sidetracked.
You've got to give SC credit.
No.
For pulling the game off.
Spit. Did that go in this?
Did you lug?
Did that go in my drink?
That's what's going on around here?
I get so fired up about USC because I can't stand them.
Oregon State, I got to say, I'm so disappointed you didn't win that game. I was okay. Everybody was cheering for
Here's the thing. I'll say this. For Utah's sake, it was better that USC won.
James.
Because you want USC to be ranked fifth.
I want them to lose every game. I want losses
on all of them.
Okay. I understand. I was cheering for Oregon State as well. But when you're looking at the resume, you want USC to be number five, number four in the country when they come to Rice-Eccles and you beat them by 18 points. So that then the AP jerks that don't even watch the game wake up and go, oh, Utah's pretty good.
Here's what I'll say.
That's what you want.
No, this is what I'm going to counter this. I don't care as much about the AP crap right now. What I care about is winning the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is too good. You need every team to have as many losses as possible.
Okay, and I agree with that. But if Utah just takes care of their own business, it doesn't freaking matter.
You know, I know, but yes, it does.
That is absolutely true. But it would be nicer if SC had a couple of losses.
They need some losses.
They can lose.
This is one of the games they needed to lose because
they can lose after we beat them. Even though they don't really play anybody.
That's what we're talking about.
They dodge Oregon and Washington.
That's what we're talking about.
So this was one of the games they needed to lose. Anyways, all right.
I get both sides of the coin.
And we're right.
I want them to be.
And we're right again, aren't we?
Ranked fifth or fourth in the country when they walk in here.
Did we put that poll out there? We said we were going to put that poll out there, but I don't think we did.
What poll?
Would you rather have USC be undefeated when they come in?
No, we can put that out this week.
Here's the thing. Oregon State's crowd gave USC problems.
Get ready for Rice-Eccles.
Get ready. That place is going to be, hopefully it's not a noon kick on the Pac-12 network. I was just going
to say, please pray to the football gods that is a night game. Please be a 6 o'clock game, please. 8 o'clock. You know what? I will take 8 o'clock.
I'll take it.
It needs to be
10:30 p.m. Mountain Time.
A night game. We're playing at noon this Saturday.
And then we play the UCLA games at 12:30 Pacific time game next week.
1:30.
Yeah, our time, 1:30.
It's not bad.
It's not great.
1:30. What a bunch of whiners.
We have children that have sports on Saturdays.
Wine.
It screws up everything.
Give me
children.
A 6 o'clock kick any day of the week.
Are we? I don't want to score predict. I don't know what to say.
Oh, yeah. Should we score predict?
I don't know.
27-21 Utah.
I'm going 31. It's going to be 31-28 Utah.
Oh, that's way too close for comfort.
Oh, that is close.
Also, we're not keeping track of any of these.
By the way, I can't even remember my prediction.
I have no.
I think I predicted.
Don't say you think. You have no idea.
I predicted 34.
You have no idea.
34-13?
I predicted 34-13 last week.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea. So if anyone else.
But I'll remember this one. I'm just telling you, it's 31-28.
Can you write it down in your little booklet?
I know. See, you've got notes here. You should be writing these things down.
What'd I say? 27-21?
I don't know what you said.
27-21.
How are they going to get 27?
You score three touchdowns, and then you kick two field goals. And you,
is that two?
And then you're at 27.
Okay, I'll go 31.
Three safeties.
I'll say three safeties. 31-21. I'm going to say 10. So I'm covering.
No, you're not covering.
I don't know how that works.
That means that Oregon State covered.
Sure.
I'm telling you what.
I don't care. This game makes me nervous.
This game makes me nervous.
It's good. Okay, it's on now.
All these games make me nervous. Big. This is homecoming, too.
Got to win these games, is it?
Yeah.
It's homecoming. So I assume we're wearing our throwbacks, but they haven't said yet.
They haven't said.
But it is homecoming.
All right. Okay. Are we anything else?
No.
Anything else? Okay, so we get comments. So thank you, though. Thank you for the comments. They're very interesting, most of which are fine or
we
cool.
Love them.
I don't even mind
I like all
disagreements
of them.
When people are...
Well thought out disagreements are great.
Yeah, and nice. But, you know, obviously there's some stupid stuff out there. So whatever. But
we like the comments, so please
thanks
comment.
Thanks for the comments. And we want to comment on a couple comments. And this is... I got to put my eyes on. This is from
old man.
Somebody.
Old man.
It goes by In Utes. Inutes.
Okay.
Inutes. I don't, it could be a male, female, or whatever.
okay.
You guys are interesting.
Thank you.
Is that a...
Thank you? Question?
I love the Utes.
Okay.
We do too.
And you have potential. Well, thank you, Inutes. We so much appreciate you.
Okay.
Thank you for that. That is so kind.
That's okay.
It's the first time anyone's ever told me my life.
I like the background. So. I like the background. Nothing fancy, but red nonetheless.
It's the bunker.
Thank you. Yeah.
Give me a paper.
The brick
cut,
wall
though.
And a brick. Okay. It's a brick wall and our poster. Thank you. Okay. Thanks for noticing.
Nice
now, he
nice
said a whole
background.
Bunch of stuff. he said he listened to the whole thing. A lot of rambling.
Welcome to the podcast. Well,
a lot of rambling.
We apologize.
This episode could have been summarized in 5 minutes.
That's not the point.
Okay.
That was our San Diego State episode.
And
to be
so
precise.
then he gave us some recommendations, Mr. or he or she
in Utes.
Maybe add structured stats, analysis of the game by position, and projection of the next game. If you could add field reporting and some player interviews, that would be cool. Sounds like you were at the game. Include some footage, maybe. It would be great if you could add something. I can watch 3 minutes, a 3 minute spot on KSL, basically, and get more on us.
that's super accurate.
Let's see.
Burn.
He's going to give us one more chance. Okay. Let me say this. Let me add this. Can I? Then go for it.
Okay. Then I'll go.
Okay. In Utes. let me try to give it to you here.
That hurts all of a sudden.
We are fans. This is a Utah football fans podcast. We sit here and talk as fans. We are biased at times. We try to be objective, but we're fans. We are not players. We are not
columnists
who try to be neutral. It's an interesting kind of world they live in. We're not that. We're not former players. We're not former coaches. If you want all that, go for it. We're fans, and we're going to talk as fans, and we're probably going to give some of our bias on stuff. But no, we're not going to do any field reporting and all this other stuff. We're just fans. If you were sitting here at the table, you would just BS with us as a fan, and that's what this is, and that's who we are. Anything else we'd like to say? Thank you, though. Thanks for the comment.
Yeah, no, I like the comment. I think, I don't know, he or she understands our format, so that's our format, is we're just fans. We don't want to do on-field stuff or in-game stuff because we are fans, and I want to be there to watch the game as a fan. And like Gary said, when you're a member of the media, you have to keep your opinions in check. And we definitely don't do that here.
You can't call them anus you if you work for ESPN 700.
No. So
if you want play breakdown,
there's other people that do it.
Yeah. I'll just add to it. I mean, we're just fans. We're just fans, man. Just like the rest of you. I mean, our Facebook group is Utah Football Fans. Join it. We're fans. Right?
Fans talking, fans.
Yeah, if you want that, great. I will recommend. My favorite is Cole Bagley. He does an amazing job. Find him on Twitter. He'll give you the insight, the breakdown, the sideline reporting, The clips, Hans Olsen breaks all the clips down. He does a great job. Not what we're here for. We're here to kind of be a little bit of a voice for the fans. If I want to vent about the play calling, yeah, that's what I'm here to do.
We're going
to
vent.
Or the refs.
Or the refs.
Or the music in Rice-Eccles.
Or the music. Or the awful pretzels that are in Rice-Eccles. Please fix that. Those sorts of things. Have you had a pretzel lately? It was like eating.
Yeah, they're 5 years old up there.
Yeah, it was eating cardboard.
Anyways.
So, anyway.
All right. Anyway, but thanks. I hope you subscribe because
yeah, I hope you tune in again because
if you're a fan, you want to subscribe.
Hey, maybe we will grow on you.
Absolutely. Okay, and then just one other comment. This is from Brendan. He's a Florida fan. Brendan has made a lot of comments toward on our page.
Hey, positive?
Is this our Vegas guy?
I don't know. Are you the Vegas guy?
Hold on, I can tell you. Our Vegas guy emailed us today too.
I hope you're not the same guy.
Thank you for the email.
Emails are nice.
Yeah, it's Brendan from Las Vegas.
Maybe it's the same guy. Hey, Brendan, clarify this for us. Are you in Vegas? The guy who commented on
who gave
YouTube?
Us this comment.
You guys cracked me up. Thank you. The way that you really move on from previous themes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Preseason, there was this rising for Heisman theme, and now crickets.
Yeah.
I'll call it rising for Heisman.
Yeah,
we talked about it.
Sure, I'm still on the train.
What do you mean we've moved on? We're going to see how it plays out. If he has it, the rest of the season is great, he may be invited.
Sure.
Okay.
You never know.
Leading up to the Florida game, there was this, you know, Diabate theme, now crickets. Well, Diabate's been hurt.
He's played a game and a half. So
he's been hurt the last two games. Not much to say at this point. All of our goals are in front of us. College playoff theme, crickets. Well, you know what? It is still all in front of us. Believe it or not, the college football playoff is still in front of us.
Sure.
It's hard. Because the first couple episodes, we try and talk big picture stuff, right? Like, because we haven't played a game yet, it's big picture. But when we're in the season, I want to cover what just happened and what's about to happen in the present. So, yeah, I mean, I could talk college football playoff, but I also am going to adjust what I talk about based off of the games that I watch. Yeah, if I'm not going to talk Diabate because he's been hurt the last game and a half, so there's nothing to say. So I get what you're saying. The preseason hype is just that. It's preseason hype, but every fan base
move on from previous themes. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fluid.
I watch the game and then I talk about what's relevant. Yeah.
Well, and I think it's being a football fan. Let's be honest. Yeah, preseason, of course we were hyped up.
We're still hyped up.
We're riding the train.
It drives my wife insane, by the way. We're going to go
to the playoffs. Well, okay, now we've seen how we play. We're going to maybe adjust our expectations a little
bit. Hell no.
No way. We're not out of it yet.
I'm not saying we're out of it. We're coming back. Okay. It's just called being a fan. You hype yourself up
and then
it crushes you and you can't sleep.
Exactly. Ruins your life.
And then the next week is just miserable. And
so in youth, is that some good analysis right there? Or is that not enough stats?
I don't know. Gary gives a lot of stats.
Yeah, we give stats.
All right. Anyways, are a couple comments. Keep your comments coming.
Yeah, we want to
read
the
comments.
We like the comments. Okay, we put out some polls.
In our Facebook group.
Let's talk about them. The first poll was...
You got to read them. I forgot them all.
So other than Utah, who do you think wins the Pac-12 championship? So I had Oregon, USC, Washington State, and Oregon State. Mm-hmm. And... USC had 79% of that vote with Oregon and Washington tied at 9%, 1% Washington State, and Oregon State got 0. I don't know how that's possible.
Oregon State got 0?
No votes. It must have not. I don't know. They don't. I voted for USC, so I don't know if.
It pains me to say it
and do it, but I still think that's the case.
Yeah, I think it's USC, but I will say. A very close second for me is Washington. And the reason behind that, Washington dodges Utah and USC this year.
That's pathetic.
Which is unbelievable. we have to play USC and Oregon. Oregon has to play us and Oregon. But Washington dodges Utah and USC, so they have a little bit easier road. But I just think it's USC.
Can I just mention, I saw somebody put this on Twitter last week or something, where they were saying how they're okay with the Pac-12 got rid of divisions, but they think it's bullcrap that they would do it when the schedules have already been made.
Yeah.
Because this year, that favors USC and Washington more than anybody else.
Yeah, it was, they had already done the schedules based off of North-South.
Yeah.
Because we're playing all the South teams. And then after that came out, they were like, okay, we're dissolving the divisions, but keeping the schedule. So, yeah.
Yeah, it benefits certain teams this year, which is just garbage, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. How confident are you that Utah will play in the Pac-12 championship game? Didn't say win it. How confident that you'll make it to the championship game?
What are your percentages?
These are percentages. 100% was one of them. 100% we're going to the championship game. 80, 90%, 60, 70%, 50% chance we go. 52% were the 80, 90 percentile.
Yeah, that's some positivity right there.
31%, 3 out of 10, 100% we're going to the championship game.
I like it.
13%, 60, 70, and 1% for 50%. I did the 80, 90%. That's what I voted
for. You still feel that way? Because this poll came out before this last week.
That I do. That one I still do because it's 80 to 90%. Yeah, I still stick on that one. What about you?
I think I voted for the 80, 90.
Even with the Keith injury, I still stay with that for going to the championship game.
Yeah. I voted 80-90, but my confidence level is a little bit lower than that at this point.
Okay, this is the final one. I'm curious what you think on it, because I don't know what you voted, but what will Utah's Pac-12 regular season record be? 9 games regular season, not total games, but the Pac-12. Are we going to go 9-0, 8-1, 7-2, or 6-3? Those were the poll questions. 34%, 9-0.
Man, I got some happy positivity out here. I love it.
Ute fans. 53%, 8-1. 7-2, 11%. 6-3, no votes.
No, we're not going 6-3. We do. That would be
okay. So I chose.
You chose 8-1.
I chose 8-1, but I'm not going to lie to you. The Keithy thing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest.
Yep.
I was going back and forth between 7-2 and 8-1.
Before the Keithy thing,
because we have the road's going to be tough.
We have hard games.
And I can see us going 7-2. I'm just going to be honest. I think though I can see us going 8-1. So I went to the positive side in Utes.
Optimism.
Is that? I went 8-1, but
I'm the exact same way. I voted 8-1. After Saturday, my confidence is down right now.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat. And then after this week,
who knows where I'll be. After this week, I'll say 9-0.
Yeah,
who knows?
You know, who knows? But
do it again.
I'm in the exact same boat. I voted 8-1. I just don't see anybody going undefeated in Pac-12 play.
Undefeated.
I mean, last year we didn't go undefeated in Pac-12 play.
I don't know who has gone undefeated.
That's why
I couldn't pick it.
Hard to do. Even 8-1 is going to be very difficult, which is, to your argument, why it would have been great for SC to lose. I get it.
Yes. Yeah.
However, yeah, I'd say 8-1 right now, but 7-2 is
the Pac-12 is just tough this year. And isn't the Pac-12 the as far as rankings goes, it's SEC has the most teams, and then it's Pac-12.
We have four.
So
that's great. I love it.
I love it, but the Pac-12 is tough this year. So
some good teams. I'm loving that part of it.
We're gonna lose a game, if not more.
We can't. Here's the problem, though. You want to go to the championship game? You can't lose two.
I know, but
you can't.
I know
because there's going to be two other teams that probably only lose one game. That's the sad reality.
Yeah, I mean, the margin
is
very thin this year. You
lose one more game, then I mean, obviously we lost one, but we lose one game. That's it.
All right.
Okay, so let's go with the jackass of the week, shall we? Okay. In conclusion, we do have a jackass of the week award. Should I present it to you?
Yeah, no, go.
You can present it because you feel very strongly about this.
I mean, it's hard to pick from week to week, and we all feel strong about this.
Yeah.
So as anybody who's actually listened or watched us, they realize that we are Raiders fans. They don't click off.
Right now?
We're all Raiders fans.
If you don't like the Raiders, stick around because you're going to enjoy our misery now.
Jackasses,
unbelievable.
Of the week.
That's so sad.
We are 0-3. That is pathetic. That's jackassery. We should be 3-0.
I mean, worst case,
we got no defense. It doesn't matter what coach we got.
Huh?
You can bring new coaches in, new players in, and we suck and always choke. So that's my take. So the jackass of the award. And we're the what?
We're the only team in the NFL who has yet
get that thing away from
to
me.
Win a game. You know, you'd think after my entire life of being a fan of Silver and Black and they've done jack shiz that I would be like, eh. But no. Every Sunday
we're
I
part
wake
of the
up,
nation.
And I think I'm gonna go watch. I'm gonna watch the game today.
Don't do it.
My number 4 Derek Carr jersey.
I
sit down with my Mountain Dew, and then I go home depressed.
The thing is, it's close at the end.
Yeah, every week
we have a possibility to win, and I'm just going.
And then you lose.
And we lose, and I'm not even. Honestly, at this point, I'm not even disappointed because I kind of saw it coming.
You're numb to it. It's so pathetic,
jackass.
And you guys, I just.
That is so sad to give. Your own team, the jackass of the week award.
You
but I get
suck.
It. They're so
bad. We've got talent.
When you, on paper, have one of the best offenses in all of football.
Yeah, I guess that's offense.
The defense, like, defense is terrible. It's
can we stop anybody?
It's Utah State's defense out there. It's so bad. So,
okay.
That's a jackass.
Jackass award.
We ended on such a sad
note. All right.
Note.
Good note is we got some good football coming up Saturday.
No
noon, baby. And the weather's going to be good.
I know.
I don't know if I'll be there.
The weather's going to be great.
I know.
It's perfect. Football day, if you can figure out
I was
kind of
hoping it'd be like an absolute monsoon, so kids' soccer games would get rained out.
It's not going to happen.
No, it's partly cloudy, I think. And like
it's even better.
79 at the high.
I need someone to take my son to a soccer game. Any volunteers?
Yeah. Nah. It's not that. It's the wife.
Hey, Marianne, you have play this part. Come on.
I'm too afraid to ask at this point.
It's
too important. Chicken, look at him.
It's too important. He has to be at the football game. He has duties.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah.
Hey, we're
I know your wife.
We're media. Hello. You have duties.
You're a media. In Utes, we're media.
You at the game, you have to be there. So it's your job.
That's true.
For all the money I'm getting paid for this.
Yeah. All right, well.
Go Utes.
We're going to win. I'm feeling it.
Right, so spinning. What is with you two and spinning?
You're enunciating, so it just comes out.
So you put it into the microphone.
No, don't.
Hey, it just flails
lather
everywhere.
Lather that up.
It flails everywhere. My kid's soccer game is at noon.
They're going to have to not have you there.
He wants to go, so I don't know what to do.
He's almost old enough to drive. Have him drive himself.
Oh, it's my youngest.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
He'll drive.
Have your, yeah.
Yeah, have him drive himself. He probably
Colin would. Will drive.
He would try. Ugh, I'll figure it out.
Utah.
Anything to be there.
Let's do it. Do this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.